This podcast is brought to you by Urban Float. Be enthusiastic, be yourself. Hey, you heard of Urban Float? Well, if you like to relax and disconnect, then you should check out Urban Float in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, located next to Rosenfeld's Jewish Deli in the new Ocean Atlantic Shopping Center on Route 1 North. Guests of Urban Float get to relax and float in their own flotation pod, filled with purified skin temperature water and 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salt. The health benefits are profound. I love it. You can book your first float at urbanfloat.com. Be sure to select the Rehoboth Beach location and use code FIRSTTIME, all caps, FIRSTTIME, at checkout to receive 50% off your first float. That's an amazing deal, people. Get on it. Renew, refresh, and revive at Urban Float.
This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
Love you. And lately we've become concerned about certain behaviors. We're afraid you're being influenced by a way of thinking, an unnatural. Do you remember the woman on TV?
Honey, we think you're a lesbian.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Film Effect. This is Tiff, and I am here. New year. Happy New Year, everybody. 2020. We did it. We survived. It's another century. I don't understand, but it's all happening. And I have an awesome, really, like, last-minute guest today. Elizabeth is here. Do you guys, is it Liz? Or
yeah, you can call me Liz.
You like Liz.
Yeah,
okay.
Most people. I mean, my mom calls me Elizabeth, but...
Oh, of course, your mom. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Elizabeth, Liz, why don't you... you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Liz. I am new to Delaware in the last year and a half.
I know.
So this is really exciting. I actually started off in film. So
whoa, wait a second.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I went to film school.
You did? Where?
I did. I went to Emerson College in Boston.
Okay. All right.
Yep. So I lived there for a little while. I was a video editor. I did wedding videography,
oh,
commercial
boy.
Videography, educational video, that kind of stuff for about 8 years. And then I moved here and now I'm in real estate. So
that's such a random turn, right?
Big turn. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really curious. We may not even get into the movie pick. So I'm going to tell you guys real quick. So obviously I'm always looking for guests and I kind of was scrambling. I put out a Facebook post yesterday and you were kind enough to just comment and be like, I'll do it. And I'm like, sweet. And I did. And I have met you before because we met at yoga.
Yes.
Which was awesome. Mm-hmm. And also Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
I know Sarah for your girlfriend, Sarah.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
I'm like, what am I going to say it wrong? And I've known Sarah forever.
Yeah.
So that was another connection. So lots of weird connections. And now there's even more. This is why I love doing this. Because now I think like. You just said that and like, wait a minute,
weird,
film
right?
school, how did that start?
Yeah.
But before we get into this like kind of talk, I will say the movie today that we are discussing, which was one of your picks, is But I'm a Cheerleader. And I'm going to give the basic info real quick on this movie. So this movie was, it came out in 1999. It is considered a comedy, drama, romance. The director, Jamie Babbitt, who I didn't even know this, but I looked her up and she went on to direct tons of TV.
Mm-hmm. Especially a lot with Natasha.
I know.
Yeah.
And Russian Doll, which, oh my God, I love her so much.
Yeah. That she's amazing.
She's amazing. And I'm sure people know her from Orange is the New Black and all these things. So she's a really great actress just to start. But the director also is like very... not known in a sense, but has done a lot of things that you probably have heard of. And this movie does star Natasha Lyonne, Clea DuVall, Michelle Williams, really briefly Michelle Williams, actually.
Mm-hmm.
She's only in the beginning. And a few other people, like Kathy Moriarty.
RuPaul.
RuPaul!
I know, right?
How did I skip RuPaul?
I know. He looks so different. It's so
oh
weird.
My God, he's like a chameleon.
I know. I forgot that's what he looked like.
Did you?
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot he was in this movie.
I know.
Well, because they make him up to be so, we'll get into it, but he makes him up to be like so masculine with the like hair and you
right.
just never see that as much anymore now on him. So
I know, and he's a man.
Yeah.
He looks like a man in this.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's like the basics. I'm going to let you talk. So if you want to start with, I kind of like tell me a little bit more about you. So the film school thing, mm-hmm. was the film something you loved like growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I was always more interested in TV. I'm like a big reality TV junkie. So it started that way. And then I just always made my like little movies myself. I was really big into editing. And when I wanted to go to school, I was like, I told my parents, I was like, I'm going for film. My mother was like, that's the dumbest idea.
So she's like, thanks, Mom.
I support you. I support you. So I ended up doing a bunch of like movie trailers as like to get admitted into Emerson. So I went to Emerson. I graduated in 3 years because I did not love it.
Oh, so that wasn't okay. Continue.
Yeah, like I mean, I loved I love film. I love TV, but I didn't. Growing up, I was like the kind of like weird kid and the goofy one. And then I got to college and I was like normal, and I didn't know how to handle that. So yeah, I just didn't really necessarily fit in with the like film,
right, the nerds
kids. Yeah, the yeah. film kids. I mean, I was always like one of two girls in the class. It was always all males. Mm-hmm. Which was just annoying. And they always, I remember we had to do this one, actually we had to bring in three movies that affected us.
Oh wow.
Growing up, that was one of the things we had to do, and I brought in Clue, the movie. I brought in Monty Python and Almost Famous as well. And
oh, wow.
Everybody else,
those are yeah. very different movies.
Very different movies. But everybody always had these like really like pretentious yeah, like movies, and they could like talk about it. And I was like, and this is the part in Clue where he runs around the house. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. And it just like, I never felt like I really fit in. And then I wanted to go to LA after college to be a film editor. And I met with one person and they were like, you're gonna have to be up at like till six in the morning, like your first job is going to be just logging tapes and it's going to be awful, and you're going to do it for 8 months and to 3 years, and then maybe you'll get an assistant. I was like, that sounds legitimately horrible.
God, that's so negative.
Yeah, it was. And I'm not yeah. someone that like responds to like, it's going to be awful, you oh, can do yeah. it. I need like positive reinforcement.
I get you.
So I did not do that. So I stayed in Boston and did wedding videography. Yeah, so then wow. did that for about 8 years.
Yeah. yeah. So do you still find to have like, you know, and that's why kind of why I wanted to do this. People have been listening to this. I don't like that pretentiousness. You know, mm-hmm. I did go to film school. I do love those kind of films, mm-hmm. those artsy, fartsy films. But I think that it doesn't mean I still don't love like a Heathers, you know, mm-hmm. or something that like I grew up with. And I think there's room for all of it, yeah. you know. And that's kind of like I like doing this because I think people come into the idea of film reviews or film review podcasts mm-hmm. or whatever it is, and they're like, I don't know what they're talking about, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, who cares? Yeah. It's not for everyone to know, mm-hmm. you know, what kind of angle they used or whether right. it was a tracking shot or what, you know, who cares? It's like, mm-hmm. did the movie work? You know, and I've had a lot of conversations, still haven't talked about The Joker, which everybody's got an opinion about that movie. Jesus
I haven't
Christ.
Seen it yet. But I do know everybody has an opinion.
Everyone does. And even Star Wars. Like, I've had people in here talking about Star Wars. And even just, I went to see it with my kids. And I went again and saw it twice. I love Star Wars. But I'm not, like, a lunatic about mm-hmm. it. People are so weird about it.
Yeah, I had a friend literally yell at me because I had never seen Star Wars. And they were like, you need to watch it. Like, it's amazing. This was, like, 3 years ago. And I fell asleep. in the middle of it, and they were so mad at me. Like, I woke up to them staring at me like death glaring, just like, how could you?
Oh my god, that's so funny.
And I was like, I'm so my sorry, god. Really.
Well, you know, listen, I find it to be just pure joy because mm-hmm. I grew up with Star Wars, you know, mm-hmm. it's different for different people,
yeah.
And it's like anything, like, you know, Clue had probably a meaning for you mm-hmm. because of maybe the time around when you saw it,
yeah.
Like, when you had to explain Clue, mm-hmm. how did you explain it? In terms of, like, these were my three affected movie picks.
Yeah, well, for me, Clue mm-hmm. was one of the first comedies that I had really seen. I think I was at my friend's house. I was probably, like, 7 or 8, I think.
Okay.
And it was, like, one of the first comedies that I was, like, oh, my gosh, this is hilarious. And the fact that, like, there's no, I got really into, like, campy cult-like films just because, like, the, it's not about the takes. It's not about the shots. It's not about any of that. It was about the story. It's about the humor. And that was like one of the first ones that made me be like, I could do that. Like, that right. would be awesome. And I love that movie. So I've watched it a million times. That's awesome. Anytime I date someone new, I'm like, okay, so we need to watch Clue because I need to see your reaction. Cause if it's bad, like this is not going to work.
You're like, oh man. Well, you know, that's funny. That's a funny test, right? Yeah. It's like what they're going to do. You know, I think it was okay. You know,
like, oh, well, so sorry. Try again next year.
Hey, I like that idea. Maybe that should be a whole podcast, yeah. You know? It's like movie date.
Yes.
With Liz. Yeah. You know, it's like pass the test or get the hell out.
Yeah. Well, they have that new show that's, what is it? The dancing one.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, they meet people for the first time and they do a dance together. Could be similar to that.
Have you seen it?
I haven't watched it, no, okay. But I saw the previews.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I would watch it. You can make some money here.
Yeah, maybe.
Where did you grow up again?
Albany, New York. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. Yeah. All right. So. Let's see. Should we get into the movie?
Yeah,
would
let's
you like
do
to?
It.
Although I'm curious about Monty Python. Which Monty Python? Any Monty Python?
Monty.
It's hard to say.
It's really hard.
Monty
to say.
Monty Python.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail was the one I brought in.
Oh man.
And yeah, my parents were big, like that type of comedy. My dad raised me on MASH. Like, growing up, I had to constantly apologize for them because they would repeat lines from shows and people would not get it.
This sounds like my family.
Yeah, and I'd be like, I have to like turn to people and be like, they're kidding, it's fine. Like, and they'd be like so offended.
They don't know how to communicate. They've learned how to talk through movie quotes.
No, so like I would always say them, and then people my age would be like, excuse you, what? I'm like, sorry.
That's so awesome. Yeah, so I would have fit right in. That's exactly what my family does. Except now my mother has moved into... She's not more of a quoter. My dad and my brother are. Mm-hmm. And my mother just on repeat all day long. It's just ID channel, true crime.
Oh, yes.
Which is also a big thing with me because I don't know where that started either. But it's just always in the background. And even in the morning. And I'm like, this is really dark. I'm like, why are we?
Oh, yeah.
Can I turn that down, Mom? Like, what are you doing over there?
I have a tattoo, actually, for... My Favorite Murder, the podcast.
We got to get Maggie, the three of us.
Yeah.
I've seen them twice.
Oh my gosh, no
yes,
way.
Yeah,
oh, that's
yeah.
Awesome.
God, see, I knew there were connections.
You know?
My people always find, we always find each other.
We find each other, yeah.
Exactly. All right, so let's talk about Bunny Mature later. So I did see this way back. Mm-hmm. I rewatched it this morning. It's so great. It's so campy, like you said. It reminded me of like Heathers. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of John Waters movies, which I don't know if you like his films. Mm-hmm. I didn't love his movies, but I grew up near Baltimore, so that was like a big pool, you know, John Waters and like Hairspray and like all those kind of movies, which were really campy and kind of goofy, but that was the style, you know. Let's see, what else did I have to say? I had another thought of like what it reminded me of. There was another movie and I can't think of it right now, but okay, so I'm going to let you start. Because you've got notes.
I do.
Which I cannot believe.
Yes, I'm very serious. Like, if I get a task, I'm like, okay, let's go.
No, and I love this. So, like, what I do sometimes is I'll just kind of, you know, we open on this movie. I had that quote in the beginning, you know, where she comes home and she sits down and she's a cheerleader and she's in this strange, like, intervention situation, kind of going, like, what the hell's happening? And they're just, like, you know, we have to talk to you.
Yes.
Because we think you're a lesbian, you know. And it's like, what? You know, it's kind of like a weird opening.
Yeah.
And now we're into this story, right?
Yeah.
Which is like, she's been thrown into this intervention and everyone's decided for her that she's gay, which is hilarious, by the way.
Love that.
It's hilarious. And now she's got to go to this kind of pray the gay away, but actually not pray the gay away. It's more of a recovery house for being gay, which is also
a 5-step program.
Amazing, right? Awesome. And it's called True Directions, you know. All right, so I'll let you take us from there. What do you have to say off the top of the head?
Okay, so I mean, I guess I'll say how we were talking about before we kind of started, how I found this film.
Yeah, tell me how you found this
film. So I would have been, I guess, 8 when this came out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I
God, I feel old now. It's okay. This is what I do. Go ahead.
So, I probably would have been 8, and I probably found it like a couple years later. Okay. On HBO.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely was not allowed to be watching it.
Oh.
It was
because it's rated R.
Yeah,
actually.
And I was reading too that it was actually supposed to be rated NC-17.
Get out of here.
Yeah, but they
for what?
Well, they cut scenes, I guess, to make it down to the rated R.
Jamie.
Yeah.
Dirty thing.
Yeah. So
she did.
Craziness.
Uh-huh.
But it was also 1999 and gay was like a R-rated thing, so you know.
I know it's really funny because I'll just interrupting you already.
No, go ahead.
So I like put it on, and I have kids. So they're mm-hmm. not babies, but Charlotte's 12, and Stella. Charlotte's kind of wandering around the living room, and I'm like, I'm gonna put this on. And she's like, can I watch this? And I go, I guess so. You know.
Yeah.
She's just watching the beginning, and she's like, I don't understand why everybody's so upset, and like, why are they upset that she's gay? Why is this a problem? And I'm like,
so nice,
Charlotte, you don't understand.
Yeah, like, definitely.
This is 99, which sounds like it still should be better at 99, but it really, it still wasn't really great.
Yeah. No. And
for people,
as an 8-year-old, or what? I guess I would have probably hit it around 10.
Yeah.
It was probably one of the first moments where I was like, huh, okay, that's an interesting movie about that. And then I would literally, okay, so backstory, I came out about a year and a half ago, so it would have been 27, and this movie, I showed it to my girlfriend who I'm dating now, and she had never seen it. And
wow.
After we got done watching it, she turned to me and she was like, and you didn't know you were gay? And I was like, well, here's the thing. So what did? But this movie like greatly affected me at that time. Mm-hmm. But it was like, it was on HBO. It's something you have to hide. Like, I would sneak not only this movie, I would sneak like Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh,
I would
my
sneak
God,
like
Buffy
L Word.
The Vamp. Oh my God, I love
so
it.
So all these movies and TV shows I watched, but I wasn't allowed to watch. You know, not anything against my parents or anything, but it was on HBO. Like, they weren't going to let
right.
a 10-year-old watch
that. Yeah, you were 10 years old. Okay.
Yeah.
That's young.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're not, like, at the time, you know, they're not thinking anything of that. So, but I did in like 7th and 8th grade. This was like my favorite movie. I made everybody who came over to my house watch it. And again, Sarah was like, and you didn't know you were gay.
Did your friends think like, why do you like this movie so much, Liz?
Like, looking back, they probably do. But my one friend, like, we were talking about it, and she's like, yeah, you really did make us watch that every time. Like,
that's
I
really
just thought
funny.
It was so great.
Yeah.
It wasn't because I was a lesbian. No.
No, and isn't it interesting how that is? So the movie kind of rings true, even though it's mm-hmm. making a little bit of commentary on, mm-hmm. like, people deciding what you are.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many themes for me about identity in this movie, and not just about being gay. It's just about trying to figure out who you are.
Yeah.
Having people decide who you are, mm-hmm. and having to try to figure all those things out in a culture wherever you grew up, you know.
Yeah.
And I always bring up Catholic school. Sorry.
Same, went there too.
Did you do it?
I
oh,
did.
Sister. Like, high fiving you in the air. Woo! How many years did you go?
I was there for 6. Okay. My mom took me out in middle school.
I'm about the same.
Yeah.
So just enough to really good, like, dose of shame and guilt.
Yes.
Got a really good one. And I've talked about this a lot, but so I don't want to bore everyone with Catholic school. But it is harder to find your voice or who mm-hmm. you are sometimes in the framework of where you live,
mm-hmm.
the town you're in, the people you know. Mm-hmm. I find that to be so true. And this movie does a pretty good job in a very extreme way.
Yeah.
Of kind of playing around with those concepts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that if there's a really good show out right now. I just finished watching the 3rd season, Atypical, on Netflix. Oh my God, it's so good. And then one of the characters is kind of going through, she's in high school, and she's going through kind of coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so awesome to see, and also so seamless for the whole transition. Like, there was struggle and there's, you know, all that. But I wish that there had been more of that, even just 20 years ago. Seeing those characters, like, this is what we had. We had campy stuff. We had, you know, and that's true from literally pretty much all time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the community had to, like, look to. So when you're watching it behind closed doors, especially as, like, a young kid, like, you're internalizing that there's something sort of wrong with it. There's something sort of behind the scenes that you're supposed to be. But then at the same time, it's, like, telling you it's okay. So it's really...
Yeah, it's a little bit making fun of it, even though it doesn't mean to, probably.
Yeah, but I think that in the time it probably was, it's like trying to play on all those, mm-hmm. you know, stereotypes that exist. I mean, I just love it. It's actually really fascinating to watch it 20 years later and realize, like, it's still so relevant so much
it
of the
really
times.
Is yeah. It really is, because some of the things are still the same, mm-hmm. you know, and it's hilarious
mm-hmm. yeah. I gotta check my notes, guys.
No, go to your notes. Go to your notes.
I mean, all of the dialogue is just hilarious.
Yeah.
The scenes that really got me was like watching it back this morning too. When she's like making out with him in the car and she's like staring off into the distance.
Oh, it's so gross.
It was so disgusting, but you can't stop watching. And then she goes to her friend. She's like, Megan's her character, is at the locker. And she's like, don't you just hate when they do that? And her friend's like, I think it's fun. She's like, well, maybe he just like does it wrong. And I literally, sorry, this is probably, you know, a lot of information for people.
No, this is what it's all about.
I had that exact conversation with my mom at one point, wow. being like, I don't get what's so great yeah. about all this. And you know, I mean, she didn't know what to say to me. So she's like, well, you know, it's just, I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm missing something.
Right. Well, I've talked about this before. You know, the thing, and I came out much later, mm-hmm. you know, obviously I was married. I had kids. It's a whole different, and people love that. What? How did you? What? I don't understand. You know, it's like, oh, man, here we go. It's too hard to even explain to people sometimes. But I do think when you're a girl and you're growing up and sexuality, mm-hmm. you know, listen, I had fast, fun friends. Mm-hmm. Trust me. They were like, I've kissed a boy, you haven't done anything. You know, like they're pushing uh-huh. the line, and especially yeah. in Catholic school, some of these girls yeah. were fucking fast.
Yes.
And I'm just like over here, like, I don't know what anything is, you mm-hmm. know, they're making fun of me. But I think even if whatever you are, mm-hmm. you're still so, everything is so new and awkward.
Yeah.
That it's hard to figure that out. Because
so parcel through that. Like, I just assumed yeah. everybody was struggling with the same things I'm struggling with, because you're watching all your friends be awkward too. So
that's what I'm saying. Like yeah. all girls having first experiences being straight, even yeah. all my friends, it was still like, ew, and then he stuck his tongue in my mouth.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, like it's not always like, I loved every second of it.
Right.
Like, there's
right.
girls I was like, whoa, man, take it easy. Like, you're only a 12. Yeah. Like, holy shit. But honestly, that's the truth. So yeah. it is confusing. Mm-hmm. It is confusing. And I think that's why, I don't know. And that's why the movie's funny.
Yeah.
Because it's not this like black and white thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So that's how I took it too. And they kind of took it to those extremes to kind of say like, mm-hmm. this is ridiculous. You can't decide this in 2 minutes, you know?
Right.
It takes some time to figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
But all right. So I love continue with what you've got here.
I have so much.
So what did you start with? Yeah. You've got.
Well, I also looked up the director because I didn't know much about her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it did say that the whole idea for the movie came from because her mother was she had a therapy like thing for kids with alcohol and drug addictions.
Oh, okay.
So that's where it kind of started from, which was pretty cool. And that's where she got the idea for it. So that
that's
awesome.
Such a great
yeah, who knew?
Fact about yeah. that. And that's so true, because instantly when I saw, mm-hmm. you know, I even play the movie out like that. You mm-hmm. know, it's like step one.
Yeah.
You've got steps, you know.
Oh, yeah. I wrote down the steps.
Let's yeah. So step one is admit that you're gay.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, okay.
A very hard part, you know.
Yeah, I know. Just do it.
And they're like,
say it.
I know, and she cries, and she's, like, drooling from her mouth.
Oh,
like, you can't tell
God.
If she's happy or if she's, like, upset. And she's, like, this whole, like, that's the thing I love about her character throughout mm-hmm. the whole thing, is that she's such a, it's so to the extreme, like you were saying. It's so dramatic in everything that
yeah.
she does, but it makes it so much more fun because she's, like, this caricature of like this cheerleader who's like when she's in the beginning, she's like, they're gonna have donuts on the bus, you guys. Like, she's so excited, and all her friends are like, you're a lesbian.
Right,
they're all worried about that, and she's worried about donuts.
Well, it's so she's so herself.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's like, what is everyone else so worried about?
Yeah,
you know,
like what's the big deal? I don't
and
think
you're
so.
Right, and like kind of right away it shows you how judgmental everyone mm-hmm. else is around you being a little bit different.
Yeah.
Because when people ask me, and now I'm kind of moving around.
Oh, no, we veer. We're
no,
good.
Go ahead. But people, when they've said this question to me about that, I can't pinpoint something so specific. And
mm-hmm.
when I say that, I say like, you know, I knew that there was just something different.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like a little different mm-hmm. than my friends
yeah.
or other people. And I thought that was just like my artistic side or something. Same. But that's like the only way I can even identify it. And that's what I think was happening with her. She just was a little different than everybody else. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, you're gay. Like, it was like crazy. You know, it's like, holy shit. Okay. Like, wow. All right. Yeah. You know, but that's what the world can do.
Yeah.
Like, they see a different thing in the group,
right?
And it's like you're suddenly, the spotlight is on you, and now you're, you know, thrown into some category of this is what, you know, you're different.
Yeah.
We don't like it.
Yeah. Well, and that's the part where when they first get there and it's like the whole step one, admit you're homosexual, and they're all, when they stand up, the thing I loved about it was they, I forget exactly what they said, one was, but, oh, I'm a Jew and I'm a homosexual, or I'm a cheerleader and I'm a homosexual. And it's like these identifiers, like, this is what I am, but I'm also this other thing. And I thought it was really interesting because when you come out and then it becomes like an identifier for you and people really attach it to you, but you also attach it to yourself. So it's really interesting just to see like, oh, I'm a cheerleader and I'm a homosexual, rather than like, I'm just a cheerleader.
Right. Right.
But at the same time, it's like, you kind of have to, it's like this weird push and pull of like, I don't want that to be my identifying characteristic, but at the same time, I want people to see me. So I kind of have to identify with it very clearly.
No, it's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's smart. Like you said, now that you're saying it, I do see the recovery thing. Cause I do, my life does revolve around recovery on different levels. And, like, I'm this and I'm this is, and I think that's why people were so afraid and still are afraid to kind of say I'm gay. You know, it's like, that's all anyone's going to see now.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
Yeah. Or like, I found that I've had, the hardest time, like when I'm in a situation and people miss, they're just assuming, which is fine. Like, I don't have a problem with assuming. It's, you don't know, so you're going with what you know.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, does your husband do that?
Yeah.
And I have to then, like, in this normal everyday conversation, like, I have to out myself and say, like, oh. And some people would be like, well, why don't you just not say anything? It's like, well, because I don't want to have to sit there through the entire conversation and hear husband when that was a really painful thing for me.
It's really uncomfortable.
Yeah. So then you have to be, like, the awkward one and be like, oh, like, sorry, just so you know, I have a girlfriend. Like, and people always, when I say girlfriend, they're like, oh, girlfriend? I'm like,
oh my God, it's so stressful.
You're like, yes, I think. I don't know what you're trying to insinuate, but yes.
Yeah. And it's a shame because I think today most people are so accepting and they feel weird too.
Yeah. No,
it's like
totally.
This whole awkward thing for everyone. You're like, oh, great. Good for you. Yeah. Like, you know, and I'm like, okay, I didn't win a prize. Like, thank you. But I feel for them because they're just sitting there like,
like, I don't know what to say.
I support you. Yeah. You know, like, you're like, oh shit, here now we're all weird.
Yeah, but
it's just, at least the world is coming along better. I've gone through that myself, you know, doing weddings, you know, wedding videography. Mm-hmm. Every time you sit down, God, sometimes there's a mother there. Mm-hmm. Holy cow. Yeah. I have gone through that whole thing where there were years where I didn't even mention it.
Yeah.
There were years where people say husband and I go, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's not worth the time.
Yeah.
To try
sometimes
and explain
it's really
this.
Not.
It's just not. But it's that point is true. You know, so you admit you're getting back to the movie, admit you're homosexual. Yeah. Cry about it.
Yes.
You haven't even decided yet. And they throw that little, I'm a cheerleader and I'm a Jew and I'm a, you know, it's just to kind of, that is commentary on just how we categorize who we are, especially at that age.
Yeah. Well, and that's when I came into it. And at the time I also was a cheerleader. And
nice.
Yeah. So
I was a brief cheerleader. Cheerleading in my blood, in my DNA.
Yes.
Yes.
I actually got dared in to be a cheerleader. And, you know, looking back again, one of those, like, you didn't know. I was like, I don't want to do that. I guess I really do. So I'll show up. And then it was like 7 years later.
Wow. That's a long time.
Yeah. So I was also cheerleader at the time. And like thinking back to that, like you look at it like, okay, do I have to if I'm this thing, I can't be also this thing. And I think that's what she's like grappling with in that moment in this like really silly way.
Yeah.
But she's like, I can't be a cheerleader and a homosexual because those two things don't go hand in hand. So can I still be both? And it kind of comes, you know, full circle later when she's talking to Graham at the end.
Great.
But
yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was a funny way.
No. That's, and see, now I've learned something else, that you were cheerleader. So that's probably another reason why you were attracted to this movie, you know, is to see a different kind of cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
because that by itself is also quite stereotyped, mm-hmm. you know? Like, a cheerleader is what?
Yeah.
It's like, but they're not, you yeah. know? I'm not trying to be negative, but I do think that's just like anything else.
Yeah. Oh, no, all the girls that I cheered with would show up in, like, these perfect little bows and, like, the perfect shorts and look amazing. I'd come in, like, sweatpants, like, nice. No bra, like, just, I'm here.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
yeah.
lucky I'm here. So I didn't really fit into that stereotype.
Trust me,
either,
I know. But. Well, I've mentioned this before, too, but my mother was a cheerleader for the Eagles.
Mm, wow, I didn't know
and
that.
And she taught us when I was, like, fifth grade through, mm-hmm. like, before I moved, which yeah. is, you know, and my friend Donna Petrecco, I have been talking about what her a lot Donna? On this. I'm getting Italian, little Italian. And she, like, really took to the cheerleading. Mm-hmm. I kind of did it. And yeah. You know, I don't even remember what I look like doing that. I'm sure I was like that, which was like, oh, God, what are we doing now? I've got to put this on and this in my hair. Yeah. And it's stupid. But she really took to it, and she ended up being a cheerleader for the Eagles as well.
Wow.
Isn't that a crazy story?
Really cool.
You know, it sounds like a storybook story. Yes. But you're right. That was something I felt like, too, is like, okay, do I fit here? Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. I don't know.
And I think that's something that happens, like, when you are in any sort of, like, I guess, oddball group.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about, like, coming of age stories, is because you just see that. You just, like, watch it and you can feel it so deeply, because mm-hmm. we've all gone through that. Of, like, well, if I don't fit in here, where do I fit in? And you think you're going to grow out of that, you know? And I'm sure, obviously, eventually you do to a certain extent, but you can always feel like that. That pain of whatever you went through when you were in high school, no matter what your story is, mm-hmm. is always, like, right there with anybody. Like, if God. You bring something up, it's, like, snowballs. Like,
you're right.
Fast.
I have the visuals. It's, like, I just yeah. went to a time warp. It was, like,
yeah. yeah.
You're back in the hallway.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when that stupid outfit, you know, mm-hmm. whatever I was wearing. That's so true.
Yeah, so
true.
I feel like when you watch these movies at any age, it's, like, that's what I think. I think that's why they're so... they stand the test of time, if you yeah. will, because you can, like, just jump back in. You're like, oh my God, I'm right there. Like, I can feel it all so palpably.
Yeah, and this movie does a good job of, like, I didn't discuss this yet, but the colors, it's very yeah. stylized, mm-hmm. and it's meant to be that way, and that's probably why you can watch it now, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't look like any time. Mm-mm. You know, there's scenes in the beginning that look like the 50s. Like, what is that yeah. living room? Or
oh
the
my gosh.
70s.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, 70s, like, green, like, weird shag carpet.
Oh my God, yeah. It's just so weird. And even Charlotte, I'm talking about her again, she's like, what is in her hair? She's in bed, and I kept thinking,
oh,
like,
yeah, like,
what is she reading
thing?
She's
yeah.
got a hairnet on, yeah. and she goes, what's on her head? And I go, it's a hairnet. And I'm like, this is the 90s. Like, what's happening?
I didn't think people still wore it. I mean.
Right. And she did. She had kind of that 60s, 70s. And that was, like, the when they all look to, you know, look to be women.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken from mm-hmm. somewhat of the 50s, somewhat of the 60s.
Yeah.
All the colors are either blue or pink.
Yep.
It's amazing, actually. It's really well done.
The
yeah.
thing that was so weird, too, I didn't notice until I was watching it this morning, was the pink and blue is obviously everywhere. There's way more pink than there is blue, because the head of the New Directions is a woman, so yes. she puts a lot of pink, but then her room is green, which I thought was really I was like, I didn't notice that before, so I don't know if she's like this weird middle ground that they're trying to, like, portray, like, she doesn't have to be in the blue or the pink, she's, like, evolved out of it, she gets green. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really weird. And there were other things, like, I was like, what are they trying to say? Like, she's playing the guitar.
I know, and I forgot about
that. And I'm like, is that a gay thing that they're just hinting to? Yeah. I'm like, are they trying to do another thing on, like, all lesbians whip out the acoustic guitar at some point? Let me play you a tune. Yeah, it's an old school lesbian music. Like, I think that. I'm like, that's what I thought. Which I'm like, look what I'm doing, right? Like, that's the same thing everyone does.
Yeah.
But that was weird, too. Mm-hmm. But so there's, I'd love to talk to the director now and be like, why'd you have her do that?
Yeah.
What was that about?
Yeah, when she's on the phone with her mom and dad, she's like playing in the vine. I've like seeing it now. I'm like, yeah, that was weird.
It's like all by herself.
Yeah.
It's like she's hiding it in the bedroom.
Yeah,
you know?
But she has the phone in her room, which is also creepy.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the
strange jail they're all in.
That's like the coolest thing about, it's like this comedy, obviously, but and the blue and the pinks, it's like this really bright pop of color. And then obviously later on you go to the XX gays,
oh my
and it's
God.
All the rainbows and stuff. But it's like this really like draconian situation that they're all thrown into, and mm-hmm. they're all being like forced, especially at the end when you get to step 5 and you have to like fake intercourse.
Oh my God, that's so crazy.
It's so terrifying.
And it's ridiculous.
Or when he goes into the dog pound, and it's like actually like a dog house, and she's being forced in there. It's like, it's so terrifying, but it's like, but we have bright pink, and it's really what happens. Like,
right,
we like dress all these things up that are actually really horrifying.
It's really funny.
But
oh
like
God.
Every day, but like when it's in a movie, you're like, oh, ha, ha, that's funny, but you don't even realize how much you do it, or it happens like all the time.
Yeah, well, I think she's making a comment on how, you know, how it is so seeped into our culture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to this day, people, when they have a baby, if they're going to have a girl.
Oh, I hate gender reveal parties.
You know, it's a pink room or it's a blue room. And I think that's exactly where she's pulling that from. Mm-hmm. It's like from the time you're born.
Yeah.
This is who you are. And right. I don't think people. It's something that we don't even think about.
Mm-hmm.
It's so built into like what we right. think about boys and girls
yeah.
that we just do that. And I, you know, thinking now about that, it's like, what are we saying? That they yeah. can't be.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that's interesting, too. Right.
And that's like a huge conversation now. And it's crazy. Like 20 years ago, this whole movie was about like gender stereotypes. It was mm-hmm. about, you know, the gender that you're assigned. It's about your sexuality. It's about the performative nature of gender. And they're all different things. And we try to group them all into the same conversation so many times because you're trying to explain it to people who maybe don't mm-hmm. always think that way, or they haven't been exposed to it a lot. So you like dwindle it down to like, well, we're gay. And there's like so
it's
many.
Too hard.
It's too hard. You're just like, it's fine, whatever.
Yeah,
But there's so many other like nuanced things in that. And I love Jan's character.
Okay.
She's like, I like softball. And... She's like, I like softball and I'm a homosexual. And then later on, she comes out and she's like, I'm not a homosexual. I'm straight.
That's
like,
so great.
I just want a penis of my own.
That's hilarious.
And so it's just like, even that, like, that's, yeah. I was so shocked that I forgot that all that, like, nuanced pieces of it mm-hmm. were in there too. So that was really cool.
It really is. And so yeah, I love the steps. Let's mm-hmm, let's do yeah. that too. So we go step one, you'd say you're gay.
Yeah.
Step two was the root, right? Mm-hmm. Was it find your root or something?
Yeah. No, rediscovering your gender identity is first, I think.
Oh, yeah, let's do it right.
Yeah.
I don't want to mess up the true direction.
Okay, yeah. So it's admitting you are homosexual is number one.
Okay.
Two is rediscovering gender identity. Three is finding their root.
So what is rediscover? What was that? How did they play that out again?
That's when she teaches them, or when they go kind of separate, and RuPaul's character Mike is teaching the guys how to like change a tire and right, how to like right. chop wood and play football. And I mean, oh, and then
so
her
ridiculous.
Son is in the back the whole time in these like little hot pants, like with this huge bulge, and he's like doing all these like
oh
sexual
oh my God, that
hilarious.
Scene with the rake or whatever is so bad.
It's so funny.
And it's funny because you're right, the movie doesn't do anything overtly sexual and like mm-hmm. where it needs to have like that kind of extreme rating.
Yeah.
But I was watching it and I'm like, this is so bad. His hand is just stroking that thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow,
yeah,
you don't like, have to do a lot, do
yeah,
you?
Yeah, don't.
To make people feel really uncomfortable. No. I'm like, can you stop doing that, please?
That's an aggressive moment. well, yeah, and especially when they're so like, they're like, and they can't even think about it. And then one girl's like, one of the girls is like in the bed, like zapping herself every
oh
time
God.
She has a net. Thought about a girl which is obviously sexual thing, so it's not working for her
it's or it might be really working for her actually
way,
the other thing I'm like yeah I think she really
think
is
she's enjoying that.
That
yeah and then I think the girls had to do like cleaning and changing a baby changing a diaper not
I know,
a baby.
Right to motherhood that was upsetting
yeah and
I was
then
like, good God.
And then what was the other one? Oh, like sitting in a dress.
No, and doing nails.
Nails, yep. That
yeah.
was one of them.
Yeah.
And
it was weird. There was no push. Cooking, though, which I thought.
Yeah, you would think that would have been, like, up there on their.
Maybe, like, an apron and, like, making a pot roast. That could have been fun.
Yeah, no, apparently not.
Maybe it was too complicated
cleaning.
To do.
Just cleaning,
doing nails.
Yeah.
Hair.
Important.
Very important.
Yeah.
To get that hair looking that way.
Which I would not have made it through because I hate. Vacuuming, and that was like a big rediscovering your gender identity. I have clearly failed on that. If I can avoid
vacuuming,
I hate it. I don't know why. There's no reason for me to hate it
yeah
as much as I do. but I will, I have one of those Roomba things.
Oh, nice.
And it doesn't work a lot of the time, but I just press it because I'm like, well, at least I'm doing something.
It's a robot.
Yeah.
It's easy.
But yeah, so I would have failed out of that one.
Yeah, and that's an interesting part of the movie too, because somebody, you know, in the writing of this, she had to decide what is a straight thing?
Mm-hmm.
What's a feminine thing?
Mm-hmm.
What's a straight thing?
Yeah, well, because they're really two different words there. And I think that that's what's so hard in mm-hmm. describing it, because there's so many times where it's like, that's masculine or that's feminine. Those are very different words than like that is that's for a man and that's for a woman.
Right.
Or that's straight and that's gay. Because like everybody kind of has a masculine feminine energy with them. We do yoga.
Oh, so yeah, totally. Yeah.
We're there. But yeah. So those are like really different words. So you're just dwindling it down to literally like, what have we identified in the 1950s specifically that meant you were a woman or you were a man?
Yeah. And I think that was smart, because to simplify it as much as possible, mm-hmm. like these old ideas mm-hmm. of like fixing up a car.
Yeah.
You know, throwing the football, which mm-hmm. was so funny.
Oh my God, that's one of my favorite scenes.
The funniest scene
ever. And
he trips
over the tree.
The running alone is yeah. just the best.
He fucks up.
It's just great. And like, yeah, and it's weird. They do spend more time on the women things. Cleaning. Mm-hmm. I mean, this just makes me angry, to be honest. Yeah. Like, it's a good thing it looked, which is, I think, why it needed to look so campy.
Yeah.
Because it would just piss everyone off, you know, to be like, what is that? What is that about? You know, that's ridiculous. The other funny scene, too, is when they would kind of, like he would chop the wood,
mm-hmm.
and they would get excited, and they'd be like, yay! And he's like, nope, they're supposed to, like,
grab their crotch.
Grab their balls, yes. and just, like, shift it.
Stand and like I a dude.
Yep. So awesome. I was like, oh my God, is that what men do?
Yeah. Well, that's one of my least favorite phrases is like, do like a man.
Oh, or like yeah.
A,
yeah.
Or like a guy.
Or like a girl.
I hate that. Like,
yeah.
What, how does I, okay. So I work in real estate, but I also work in the restaurant industry too.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the most ridiculous, I mean, everybody has stories, but this one goes right along with this. This man asked me if he could have a manly salad dressing.
What does that mean?
That's a great question. I really try to bite my tongue because you have to, but there was no like moment where I stopped myself and said like, don't say that. Like it just happened so fast. I like blacked out. I don't know.
Oh, it's a good thing I didn't have that guy. You should have heard what I would have said.
I was like, I really, sir, I didn't know salad dressing was gendered.
Oh boy. Like, what did he say?
He just looked at me and he was like, well, I just want like a manly dressing. He just repeated it. And I was like, okay, well now I have to ask, like, what is a manly salad dressing?
Right.
It's like, you know, like ketchup and mayonnaise. I'm like, you
what?
Want Russian dressing? Like I can go mix that for you in the back or whatever that is. Thousand Island. I don't know. Because we have like all vinaigrettes, which apparently are women dressings.
I mean, right away you should have said, I don't think you should be eating a salad.
Yeah, like that's very feminine.
Why aren't you eating a steak?
Yeah,
bro?
Like a burger and like fries. Like I was just
You want to eat some lettuce, girly man?
I just had no idea that somebody could literally.
Well, that puts you in the moment of like confusion, and you're thinking like, why does he need to be manly?
Mm-hmm. Right this second.
Like why does it matter
that eating your salad dressing is going
to
make
you. Yeah, like I almost wanted to, I would have felt bad and been like, oh, I'm sorry that this is so important for it to be, you know, masculine.
Let me get you that then, because you're clearly going to suffer. Did he
come to a decision? Did you guys
figure
it out?
Just no salad dress. No dressing.
No dressing at all.
Yeah.
God forbid.
Yeah.
You pick one or the other.
Yeah.
But that is so, that should be in a movie.
Yeah, it was so strange. I was like dumbfounded. Like I walked away. I was like, I'm so confused. But I think that's why like in the movie, they just pick those like over exaggerated things that everybody relates to that. But
totally.
Then it makes it so apparent how much you do it on a daily basis with anything. Like you can literally make anything masculine or feminine. And it's so stupid because it's like, why does that have to relate to your masculinity at all?
I don't know. I think, you know, I'd love to go back like way before even the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And because where did this shit start, you know? I feel like the 50s really ramped it up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, you hear about the roaring 20s
mm-hmm.
where it was just a wild card situation. Mm-hmm. And I think then probably anything flew.
Yeah.
It was probably like more of a time where it was free.
Mm-hmm.
And people were getting into trouble because it was too free. So the 50s were a reaction to that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is let's all button up and, you know, figure out what we are and stop fucking around and
mm-hmm.
like take it seriously. And, you know, and then it stuck. I think it just, and then the 60s tried to revert again. You know, we go through these periods where in time it seems it goes back and forth, but for some reason, some of them have really stuck, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, and so it's so funny to watch it like be so, you know, overt. And then I think, is this the part, I forget exactly, and it might be demystifying the other sex, but I think it's in rediscovering your gender identity when they have the cards.
Yes.
Yeah, I think.
And that was so confusing.
Yeah, and they're, like, showing each other cards, and they're supposed to, like, identify, and I love her. She's like, this is a mom. And then, oh, she has a great line.
Yeah, she's taking out the trash, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
In the picture. I'm like, what does that make her a mom? Like, how does that, how does that, I can't even speak. That I didn't understand that at all.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I need to take a photo of your notes.
I'm, like, trying to read them.
Oh, my God, Liz, this is my favorite thing ever. I want you to just... I'm going to post this because this is great. Just like the length. Can you just open that up again?
Yeah, I just like, I have a lot of.
You're my favorite. I
have a lot of notes. I'm trying to find where exactly she says it. She said, if you would learn, if you would learn that women have roles, then you would stop objectifying them. Oh, yeah, here she is. Women have roles. After you learn that, you'll stop objectifying them to Graham. And Graham just kind of like smiles because like that's obviously so that's exactly what you're doing by putting them in roles is objectifying them.
That's right.
And I love that line because she doesn't even realize that she's saying it. She's so adamant about her position and she's so like, I am right here. Like I am sound so smart. I'm awesome. I'm like really kicking butt at this becoming a heterosexual thing. And Graham's like, it's never going to work.
No.
And oh my, I had the biggest crush on Graham.
Oh, really?
Movie. Oh, my goodness.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Oh, I thought she was so hot. Again.
She's like, been around. I saw her in that actress.
Cleo, yeah.
Yeah, she was in Handmaids, actually. Mm-hmm. Did you watch Handmaids,
Yeah,
too?
Well, there was one part of this movie that actually had a... I think it was when at the end when we get to step five. Mm-hmm. That had a very Handmaid's Tale, like, feel to it when they're, like, having to fake the sex and she's, like, laying there.
Oh, you're right.
And I was like, wow,
spread your legs.
Yeah.
Good
like,
God.
Open like a flower.
Oh, my God. I was getting scared when that happened. I was like, oh, can you not do that?
Jeez. Yeah, it's like pretty terrifying, actually.
Yeah, and then he's like, what about the foreplay? And she's like, nope, there's no foreplay. Yeah. That's what a man does.
A real man
get in there.
Gets in, unloads, and pulls out.
Yeah, holy cow. I was like, whoa, like, lady, that's rape. So, that's not okay.
So terrifying.
Yeah, that's crazy. That was crazy.
Also, the word unload just really...
It's just a nasty, fun word. Oh, my
word.
God. Oh, my God. So I kind of want to ask, so not to get too personal, but like, so you said, you know, you saw this movie as a kid. You kind of didn't really understand why you're so attracted to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of have come out, you know, in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
So can I ask, like, what, not to make this divert completely away from the movie, but I think this is like what we're talking about. So
how movies affect you. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, was it something, did it just kind of happen naturally that you realized, like, you know, it's time.
Yeah. I think it was funny because when I showed it to my girlfriend, Sarah, and she had never seen it because we're probably about 8 years in difference in age. So I think it just wasn't, it didn't hit her at the time like it did me. Mm-hmm. But I started crying. This was like a year ago when I saw this again. And it's a campy, funny movie, and it's so silly, but it was just like I said before, it brought me back to like that confusion and that moment. And this was like one of the movies that really made me feel like, okay, it's not so weird. But yeah, it was an evolution. And I think that's why college for me was a really hard time because that was when I really struggled with it. I went to a very gay college.
Oh, I didn't know that actually.
Yeah, Emerson College is super gay.
Wow.
And but it's not anything against anybody there or the program itself, but it was a great place to be gay. It wasn't a great place to come out.
Oh.
You kind of came in gay.
Okay.
And that was cool. Everybody accepted that. But the kind of questioning process wasn't exactly welcome.
No, and it's interesting. Getting back to the movie, I think they touch on that too, which is something that me and Nicole, I think, have related to quite a bit.
Yeah.
Even here, is that first it's hard enough to come over, you know, and be like, come on over.
Yeah,
it's cool. And then you come over and you're like, I don't fit here either, do I? Like, this feels like I'm not being accepted. There was a little bit of that, and I think that can happen to people. And even in the sense that, you know, Natasha Lyonne's character starts to kind of come to terms a bit with it, I think even like a scene where they go to this gay bar
mm-hmm.
and it feels really gay, right? You know, you go from like this one extreme of like the pink outfits and the blue mm-hmm. and now everybody's in this dark, and it was very dark. There was a lot of black, which I guess is a neutral color. Which is speaking to like the themes that she created in this. And but there's also a vibe of like, I don't know if I fit here either. This doesn't feel like me. Because she's still with the blonde hair and this, you know, whatever she looks like. And I think people, like you're saying, encounter that aspect too. So then you feel like, well, I don't know where the hell I go. If I'm not here or there, where am I? And I'm sure it's very different today. But at least for me, even in the past, what, 10 years and a decade, I went through that a bit. Is that kind of what you're referring to?
Yeah, definitely. And she has this great moment where she says, well, after she leaves, spoiler alert, after she leaves the program, she gets kicked out, she goes to the two guys, Lloyd and, what is it, Lloyd and Larry, I think, are their names.
Great. They're great.
And she's like, oh, can you teach me how to be a lesbian? And even just, like, in the last 2 years, like, that's something that I've really struggled with, was when I first started kind of coming out and accepting it. I remember my mom said to me, like, you're dressing differently. And I was like,
really?
Oh, I am? I didn't notice that. I guess I am. Like, I guess I was like trying new things because I was like, is maybe this is like what lesbians dress like.
She says literally, like, can you show me what they wear and where they live?
Where they work and like what
like what do they do? You know? And I was like, that's hilarious. It's an awesome question. Right?
Like, what and do it's I so do now? Silly and that was another thing I think this movie really is cool about, is that you don't really get a lot of lesbian movies that are centered around it not being like a sexual thing between two friends and like two girls, like a Girls Gone Wild situation. Cause that was when I grew up. Girls Gone Wild was huge. That was like the thing. So for me, it was like, oh, that's just what you do with your friends. Like you just like make out and that's fun.
Yeah, where you're trying to get guys.
Yes.
Which, by the way, not to segue, but there's a hilarious sketch on SNL from way back when that Girls Gone Wild shit was going on. And it was like they flipped the whole thing where they have like guys in a bar. And I wish I could remember who the actors were. But the two guys are at the bar. They're acting kind of like they're totally guys. Right. But they're doing that thing that is the cliche thing of like what girls might do in a bar where they're like, oh, that guy's hot.
Yeah.
They're like, dude, let's make out and like get his attention. Like, so the two guys are like, check out that girl. And they're like, we should make out because I think she'll think it's hot. And so they start making out. It's like the flip opposite.
And you would like never do that.
No, it's so funny. I was like, girls, that's so great.
Yeah. And I think that we, there's probably, I mean, there's, it's so funny because especially with this, the movie too, it's like, that's what I love about every single one of those people is they're all so different at the beginning when they're all sitting down and being like, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. They're all just like such a broad spectrum, which I think is really great. Because it doesn't always happen, because when you're explaining it to people who aren't, either aren't gay or don't have a lot of gay friends or haven't really, it's like it, you have to dwindle it down. So you're like speaking for an entire group of people and you're like, well, I can't really, I can speak for me.
Right.
But when you're doing it in that instance, like it's, that's what I'm saying, like when it's saying it doesn't, it, come, it comes about like, how am I trying to put this? It's not about you in that moment. Like you're trying to help them not be ignorant, you know?
Wow, that's such a great way so of explaining it.
So really hard to, because you're trying to explain your, you want to be seen, but then you have to like kind of take yourself out of it and say like, okay, I don't, this is not my time to like explain myself. How can I explain it to them that doesn't, because I think a lot of people, it hurts when they, when people say the wrong things or do the wrong things, and I can totally understand that. And so for me, because of how I look, I'm a more approachable gay, which is horrible, but it's true. And I would be stupid not to like utilize that to talk to people.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so I think that like that's why too.
As if there's levels of gay, which is really funny. Because by the way, even with me and Nicole, people are like, "Well, you know, you seem more like I'm more gay than her." Like what? I'm like, you don't even know what's going on here. Can I tell you? Like, I'm like, this is nothing. It really, once you're. It's just people, man. It's just people. Like, if I could answer for everyone, it's no different than any other relationship with straight people. I mean, it's just people, you know, like we're wearing the skins we're wearing.
Right.
We like what we like.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that complicated.
Yeah. But then you spend, because of like when you're a kid and like situations like this, like if this were a real situation, I don't know if you've ever heard the book, The Miseducation of Cameron Post.
Yes. Yes. I have.
So, I mean, that is like takes this in a very serious way of what could happen and how people have gone through this conversion therapy and how horrible it is. Like if this were, if Megan were a real person, like this would take years of therapy, real therapy for her to get through and to move forward from.
I mean, her parents are like, see you later.
Yeah, bye.
Like, she's like just off, you know, with her pom-pom in her suitcase, by the way.
She brings her pom-poms with
her. It's my favorite thing ever when she's walking out of this house, you know, with like the old school suitcase and the 70s outfit or whatever. And then like this pom-pom.
Mm-hmm.
It's iconic, you know. Yeah. It's like, take your cheerleader pom-pom, get out of here, you lesbian. You know, like it's just.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you're right. And for people, I'm lucky I didn't have that experience, you know. It wasn't easy at all, but it's definitely different for everybody. And some people really have a hard road, you know, to become just okay with whatever they are and how they want to live their life. So,
I think this is a cool movie, though, to have that be so relatable 20 years later, is because like I get a lot of people who say to me, you know, I've had some struggles around coming out. I was engaged at the time to a man.
Oh, wow.
So that was fun.
Did it surprise people?
Well, yes and no. A lot of my friends were like, we were just waiting for you to tell us. And I'm like, great. Could you have let me know that about 15 years ago?
So annoying. That happened to me too.
Would have been awesome. But the fact that it's so relatable 20 years later, I think shows people it has changed so much, but there's a lot that in a lot of places that haven't. Like I get a lot like, oh, well, people are just so accepting now. And it's true. A lot of people are in the places that I've lived. They are, you know, I've lived in metropolitan areas. I've lived in New York. I've lived in Boston, Portland, Maine. So it's so different, than a lot of people that grew up even just in, you know, in Delaware necessarily. So just like the fact that this can be used just now and still be just as campy and fun, and you can see like, oh wow, that stuff really still happens, or really is still like the performative nature of gender and that all that stuff is still so relevant.
No, and some people are right now dealing with it as if it felt like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said,
yeah.
Not everybody lives in a city.
Yeah.
Not everybody, you know, has an accepting town.
Yeah.
And that's really, really hard,
mm-hmm.
you know? And you wonder how many people are just really afraid to, who knows, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, God.
And like even within, like, the gay community, and especially with, like, with lesbians, definitely, I feel like this happens a lot. And just, like, the way that people talk about it is, like, I mean, it happens with gay men, too, obviously. But, oh, well, you're the dude and you're the girl.
So
and I'm
annoying.
Like, that's not how it works. Like
I know, but people, you know, what's funny is I've come to so much acceptance around this, which has taught me to have a lot more acceptance about anything I don't understand, which is that people, when they're confused and they don't get it because it's not their own experience, they're just trying to make sense.
Yes, exactly.
So for them, they look at it and they see two people and they go, that's the dude and that's the and that's the only way they know how to make sense of what that looks like to them, you know. But we all know, even in straight relationships, some men are more feminine in the way they interact, you know. Not every man is like a macho ball grabbing, you know,
chopping wood, football
playing. give me the masculine salad dressing. Like, that's not every guy, you know, and not every woman, even if they're in a straight relationship, is so feminine. I mean, I know plenty of women. In fact, this kills me. You know, this is a joke that we can share. Everybody thinks that they instantly go, oh, you guys like sports. No, actually.
Actually, we hate
There
that.
Are stereotypes about gay people. Talk about stereotypes about straight people. There are stereotypes about gay people. And I'm sure not every single gay person fits that.
Yeah.
And that's funny too. And it's like, I really don't watch sports.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. You know, like,
I can't help you there.
Me and Nick have a running joke that we have like a house and we have issues, and we'll make, this is probably not nice either, but I'm just saying it, like something will break, you know, like we have like a problem and we're like, call so-and-so or so-and-so, like we need a real lesbian right away. You know, because we don't have tools in the truck. Like, I don't have any of that shit.
Oh, no, Sarah does. It's great.
Yeah, and so what I'm saying is, though, not everybody fits that, you know? And so that's what people need to understand, is that there is no poster person for anything, you know? And not every guy is able to be such a man's man, you know? And not every woman, you know, and some women can fix a car and who knows what and still put on a fancy dress and high heels and want to be with a guy. Like, it doesn't make them less straight or less feminine.
Right. And well, and that's the crazy thing, like within the in the movie, it's like they're trying to rediscover these identities that they're supposed to have. And that really does happen, like with when you come out and when you go through all that, or you don't come out, you know, you're trying to fit yourself back into this bubble. And like you said, then you come out and you're like, well, I don't fit in that bubble either. So I'm in this like weird middle space. And it's almost like a prolonged high school year or teenager. God, like, so I kind of wonder, like, not watching this movie, watching shows like Atypical, it's like, if I had come out earlier, like, would I have had a much different experience going through that middle school, like, coming of age
time?
Because I feel like I'm still so much in that. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, supposed to be out of that. I'm supposed to have, like, you know, figured that part of it out or not feel so awkward or like strange. I mean, I remember when I first started dating Sarah, like she would do something and I would literally feel like a 12-year-old. I'm like, what? Like, I can't talk. I don't know who you are. And I told my cousin that and she was like, did you never go through that? I'm like, no. Like, I never had that like weird, giddy, like stomach thing,
like you can't ever speak or you're talking too much.
Yeah, no, like I was rambling, always just like
nervous rambling, which is what I do.
Never did that. Never knew what that was like. And then I'm like at 26 and I'm like, can't, I'm stumbling over my words. I'm like sweating. I like don't even know. I can't even look her in the eye. And I'm just like, what is going on?
Yeah. That's so awesome though. It's so, I mean, like, it's funny if I don't, you know, if I were to give any advice to anyone in this space that you're talking about, it's that like, just be you. Like, don't worry about it. Like, don't worry about the right outfit, you know, to go out to the club or what. Just the closer you get to that is where, I don't know, that I have found it's just been, it's just, you suddenly get to that place where it's kind of like, none of it matters. Just do what you want, you know. And what I love about being me today is that I can decide, this is so much fun, actually. Yeah. Like, I can decide to dress like, really tomboyish if I want to, because, and this is kind of how I've always been. It's funny. Yeah. It's no different than I always was as a kid, which is sometimes I wanted to wear a vest and a tie and like my mom would be like, why are you doing that? You know? And then like some days I can get like a little more girly or whatever you want to call it. And that feels good too. And I don't care anymore. Yeah. You know, I don't worry about it. I will say most of the time I'm in pants, but let's say 100% of the time. But, and there's a line in there too where it's like they do the what is the root?
Yeah.
And they're like, my mom got married in pants.
Yes.
I was born in Paris. Like, it's hilarious. That's right. That's why I'm gay.
That would have been mine. My mom wore pantsuits a lot. They call their pantsuit Paula. So
right.
That would have been my route at this new directions.
Yeah, and that's why I love the time though. It's like anything goes. Yeah. You know, I went through a period being a photographer, and I never really did this because I didn't search it out, but I'm so interested in androgynous people that kind of look a little bit like both.
Yeah.
I love it so much. I find it to be like the most beautiful thing to see somebody who kind of, it doesn't look like one sex or the other. And I was like, God, I want to photograph like really androgynous people because it's just so cool, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's so, it seems way more accepted now.
Yeah.
And now with the whole transgender thing and like it's just everywhere. But there's just it's like there's so much more things to play around with.
Yeah.
Which I love because I felt like I didn't grow up with that.
Yeah. Well, and that's not to, you know, talk too much about her. But no, Sarah is very androgynous.
Let's talk about her.
She's very androgynous. And but like much more in her facial structure, in the way that she looks and the way she wears her hair. But, you know, clothing wise, she's much more comfortable in stereotypically like more masculine clothes.
Right.
That doesn't make her any less androgynous looking or any less like of a girl or any more of a. It's like weird middle zone.
I know.
That's really hard to articulate. Yeah. The photographer. Well, he's an he's a writer and an artist and photographer. Io Tillett Wright.
Okay.
He did a whole thing
I'm gonna
on
look him up.
Yeah, he's really amazing. On like, I think it was like 1,000 portraits of queer people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are androgynous looking, and a lot of them, it's like a huge spectrum of people. So it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing that's great about it is it's like, it fucks with people.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this is a girl to you. Guess mm-hmm. what? It's a boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so stop deciding what people are when you see them. Right. Is kind of what I think, which is so important because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why that kind of stuff really matters. You know, when people start doing those kind of projects, the more we see, you know, and this is the commentary on the film. It's like the more we see people that look like us, whether they're straight or gay or whatever they are, the less this becomes weird.
Mm-hmm. And the more comfortable, you know? Like as a kid, there's so many characters now and so many shows where like what was the one that was on, ABC Family The Fosters.
Oh yeah. We watched that a lot when it came on. Yeah.
The Fosters, like stuff like that just makes it so normalized in a way that's like so awesome. Not just for the kids who are going through it, but for the families of those kids. I mean, I think that if my parents had more of those people on TV for them too, it would have been, you know, easier to understand like how that looks like or how that plays out. Cause I think a big thing that parents feel, at least maybe not so much anymore, but definitely for, you know, at least my age, was like, what did we do? And that's a huge part of the whole root
Maybe
thing.
Maybe we should talk about that. It's funny. We've already spoken an hour here.
Oh my God,
this
I'm
is
so
crazy.
Sorry.
No, don't apologize. I'm going to take this a little longer because it's such a good conversation, maybe an important one. So I don't really care if people think it's too long.
Mm-hmm.
Turn it off.
Yeah. Bye.
Do what you want. Come back. Yeah. We'll still be here. No, but I was going to ask you, like, did you find pushback from your family or like anything?
I think it was the normal, like, I mean, I think mine was a little bit more of an exaggerated situation because of the fact that I had been engaged and I was calling that off. So it was like a whole thing. It wasn't just like, hey, guys, I'm gay.
Guess what?
I'm like calling this off and also gay.
It's because of that movie that you didn't know I watched. It's all your fault.
Yeah. Well, it was so funny because my mom, like, I would tell her some of these things and be like, oh, I would watch this movie. She's like, I didn't know any of this was going on. I was like, I used to watch at Graham's house. Like, she's like, oh, man. Like,
Grandma had my back.
Yeah.
She knew.
She was cool with it.
Yeah.
Mostly she just didn't pay attention. But
what grandmas are for.
Yeah.
So, not paying attention.
Exactly. So I think that luckily I have most of my friends are gay. A lot of them.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, it was just, well, welcome.
That's nice.
Yeah, yeah, so that was, and it was easier too in that sense because I got to call them but the biggest thing that I got pushback from was more so myself because I didn't want people to feel like I had lied to them.
Oh, wow.
And so that was like a really hard thing to grapple with because even my friends who are gay, like I felt
that I could see why that would make you feel that way.
Yeah, I remember calling my one friend, sorry Claire if you ever listen to this, and she said, oh, so you're going like full lesbian now. and she like did not mean it harshly or anything, and I was like, I guess I'm going full lesbian now. But yeah, I didn't want people to feel like I had like lied to them because I'd lied to myself too in a lot of ways. So so I think that's like with all the family stuff and like that still happens so much.
Really?
Especially in like this, in the movie, you know, with all the different types of parents, like you just see because Megan's parents in the movie, like I don't think are coming from they're obviously not mean, nasty people, but so much of what they're doing is pretty awful.
Right.
Which
is what it does look like for some people.
Yeah. And she, you know? The one part that really got me was, now I'm also an only child. So that's a lot of, a dynamic there, but she looks at her parents and it's like during the root and she's like, I think I remember what my root was. You know, my dad got laid off of work and my mom had to like take on the masculine role, and like her parents are sitting, and then she feels so bad that she's now hurt her parents.
Wow.
And yet they've put her in this situation and she's sitting there like, I don't want to hurt my parents. And I think that's so relatable for
so
many kids that come out. Like, I don't want my parents to think they did anything wrong. Obviously that's, you know, that's not the only way that it happens, but just to watch her be like thinking about her parents when they're not seemingly thinking about her at all. And I thought that was really relatable.
You're right. Cool. I kind of stepped over that piece, and you're right. It's bigger than it plays out mm-hmm. because it's what everybody experienced. And I thought that too. You know, you're worried so much about other people. Mm-hmm. And that for other people can keep them closeted probably mm-hmm. because yeah. they don't want to deal with it. You yeah. know, it's like, God, it's so crazy to think it still might be like this.
Yeah.
That like you're basically wearing the scarlet letter of some sort. And mm-hmm. once you plant it on yourself.
Yeah.
Anybody associated with you is mm-hmm. now wearing it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, now everyone has got to be gay too. Like, it's mm-hmm. like you can't. That's how I felt about it. Maybe because I was raised Catholic too, that it was like suddenly you're wearing this like sin mm-hmm. and now everybody's like, and your family feels responsible. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, what did we do?
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole, what is the root? So we're talking about right. this part in the movie where part of the steps, one of them is to find the root of your gay.
How you became a homosexual.
Dig deep and find yeah. out where it started so we can deal with it. But that's the joke too, is there is no specific thing.
No.
It's funny because me and my family have gone through a weirdness with this. It wasn't easy. They weren't like, we don't love you. It was just like, can you not be that way? Mm-hmm. Do you have to, can you just, mm-hmm. it's almost like, do you have to wear that outfit?
Yeah.
Can you just not wear that when you come to dinner? Just mm-hmm. put the outfit away, you yeah. know? Why can't you and Nicole just be friends? Like, yeah. why do you have to, yeah, like, you're like, I have lots of friends. Like, yeah. this isn't about that, you yeah. know? Or don't tell anybody else in the family or mm-hmm. don't post on Facebook.
Or just don't be so in your face
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, can you tone it down? Yeah. Can you just not tone wear the flag yeah. and fly it around? And like, and I wasn't even doing that. I yeah. was like, what do you mean? Like,
oh,
I don't
definitely
even
was.
Understand what, good for you.
I'm an asshole.
Good for you. You know, I had this massive fear yeah. of upsetting people mm-hmm. and God, yeah, it really is interesting. And then the second you say it, it's like they're responsible in some mm-hmm. weird way. And I feel yeah. like that's hard, but it's just because of society. It's the only reason mm-hmm. that people feel that way.
Yeah.
Is that they feel like other people are going to judge you. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, they probably feel like worried about you.
Yeah.
Kind of like, what are they going to think?
Well, yeah, now
what's
you're
going to happen now.
Now people are going to, you know, you're going to have to watch yourself all the time. And I mean, in some places, yeah, definitely. I mean, I've gone places with Sarah where I wouldn't hold her hand. I wouldn't.
I know. I'm so stupid that people have said, if you go there, don't do that. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Really? I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
You know, we've been in those situations, but I mean, we're in Rehoboth. It's not like that, obviously. So
yeah, I know. This is a strange place to be.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different place.
It really is, yeah.
But yeah, in the movie too, like she's, the whole idea that you can trace it back is insane.
It's
because
so crazy.
People ask you that, like, oh, well, when did you know? And I'm like, well, I guess I really knew the first time I was like in some girl's car making out.
Probably
like,
true, right?
Like
right.
I guess like that exact moment was like, yeah, there's probably that was it. But there was all these other little things. Like Sarah's like, how did you not know? And I'll tell her, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just remember this one time that, yeah. and she's like, again, I don't understand. Because hers was so much more tied to her, you know, the way that she looks, you know. So from a very young age, people were telling her like, you're different because she looked, you know, like a more masculine
right.
little
like
girl.
Her identity. Yeah,
yeah, it was yeah. so tied yeah. to that. And that's really hard because you're a kid. Like, how are you going to tie that to some kid's identity? They're three. They don't know the difference.
No.
And mine came more with my sexuality and like coming of age and going through that. So how do you tie that back to being...
Right. And that's why in the movie it's so comical. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just the answers are ridiculous mm-hmm. and hilarious, which is great.
Yeah.
And it's almost like there's how could she even accept? You have to accept every answer.
Right.
You know, if you're the woman in charge, like, what's the wrong answer?
Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Well, that's what that's what they said. They're like, what's the one character's name? He goes, well, I used to, after football or something, we used to all change. And she's like, well, every little boy changes with other little boys. That's just normal. And so that apparently that answer wasn't acceptable.
Right,
but
you're right. I remember that now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There is no exact thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what's the craziness of it. And that the funny thing of the whole movie is that the you're chasing after this goal, this ideal, and it's constantly moving and there's no real answer, which can be seen in the fact that she's getting to decide which answers are correct.
It's true. And yeah. you know, the reason, and it's funny because to me, a movie's effective mm-hmm. when regardless of what I get or I don't get, that I'm rooting for that person at the end. Mm-hmm. And what's beautiful about the way she does the film is that she presents all of these things. So even if you were to watch it and kind of agree a little bit, in some weird, quiet way. Maybe you're watching it just, you know. By the end of this movie, you can't stand to watch these people not be themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, you just, it feels so fucking wrong on so many levels. It's like, God damn it already. Let them be what they are. Like, this is getting out of control, you know? Which is, to me, that's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
Is to take away the sexual aspect of it and say, these people need to be who they are. Forget about it. Stop trying to put a square peg, you know, into a round hole. Like, it just doesn't work.
Right.
And it feels wrong. You just sit there and you're like, oh my God, seriously? Yeah. Take off that outfit.
Yeah.
What are they doing? You know, like
Cleo's hair at the end when she's got the like butterfly clips in and it's like going. But that was like a 1990. I had that hairstyle.
Did you?
I did.
Wow.
It was a look.
I keep saying, like, is there a 90s look? I didn't even realize.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I was a part of the 90s.
I mean, I would have been, I guess mine would have been more early 2000s.
Okay, okay.
There's a show actually on Hulu called Pen 15.
I've heard about this show. Really?
Oh, my goodness. That is my, like, I cringed watching the whole show because it's so accurate. Yeah, it's
I have to check it out. You're not the first person. I had someone else mention it and I was like, oh, I gotta check that out.
Oh, it's hilarious. I mean, Sarah thought it was really funny, but she wasn't that age when it happened. Okay, so she I don't know if she thought it as funny as I did, but it's hilarious.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, but that's definitely what I think of when this movie was like right around that time.
That's
so
cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do in a show.
Yeah.
Is to like portray a time, especially any time after I feel like the '90s, because what is the look? What is the
Early 2000s look.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. So now I'm curious.
Definitely like those metallic shirts that were like, they were actually rainbow, which is hilarious because they were all these like weird metallic-y rainbow shirts, like scrunchies, which I'm so happy are back.
Oh, I know. Our kids love the scrunchies.
The butterfly clips were big then.
Yeah, butterfly clips.
Yeah, the really low-rider jeans with like the tube top was a big thing, which my mother hated.
That's also reminding me of like Girls Gone Wild.
Oh yeah, definitely. She had a whole drawer, my mother did, of my clothes. Because I was an idiot as a child and didn't think through the fact that my mother did my laundry.
That's funny.
When I would go out and buy these clothes that I was not allowed to wear.
She just swipe them out of your drawer?
Swipe them out of my drawer. And I couldn't go ask her, hey, mom, have you seen my Corona tube top? Like,
Corona tube top.
Nice. And I found them in a drawer in her closet years later.
Wow.
And I was like, this is where all of them
like, are. I just found gold.
Like, found the gold. My leopard print thong. So exciting.
It's like when my mother just like secretly took half my Doc Martens and like made them disappear when I went away to college. I was
so
like,
rude.
What did you do with all my, I don't know. We just cleaned out the rooms and you must have put them somewhere else. I'm like, no, I didn't. Those were money that I bought, you know, myself.
So
and she didn't care.
Yeah, but no. Nah.
Now here's the joke of it all. I just got Doc Martens last year. Wore them to my parents' house. My mother thought they were awesome.
And I
went, you like them now? Because you hated them when I was like in high school.
I'm
like, thank you.
I'd love to see my mother in a Corona tube top.
Dude, that would be awesome.
Pantsuit Paula in the Corona tube top.
Right?
I don't think it would happen.
Wow.
I don't think it would happen.
Well, I think we might have to stop. But I know I feel bad because you've got lots more to say.
No, it's really honestly.
Maybe can you add like anything?
You know, it's pretty much just like narrating the show, the movie, because
I thought should be doing this and I shouldn't be.
No, I don't think so.
You've got some good stuff there.
Oh, this is a good one to end with.
Yeah,
so
go
this
ahead.
One says it's Graham and she says, cheers make girls do stupid cartwheels, orgasms make people feel good.
I remember
that
line.
That's a good line.
Yeah. But you know, they bring it back though at the end when she comes, you know, she comes out and tries to win her back. It's very reminiscent of like some old movies, like
we'll get that cheer. We can't,
you know, I gotta go rescue her, gotta get my girlfriend, you know. So she comes and she shows up and it's not successful at first. She's in the camo and then she, you know, she goes, and this is why to me this movie is kind of beautiful. I can see why you could tear up a little bit, because she realizes in that moment, I've got to be me. And I am a cheerleader.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my thing right now, which is I'm going to come out and cheer. And I was like, fucking A, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, like, how can you argue with that?
And then Graham's like, wait, I love her.
I know. Because she's being herself. She's being authentic.
And then they leave in the truck together.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. But not before. Hold on. We'll get the chair. I have it written down.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know if I can do it like her. She has that really like whiny.
Oh, Natasha.
She's voice thing with the lip. I can't.
Don't worry about it. You do it your way. Now I made you nervous.
You did. All right. Okay. One, two, three, four. I won't take no anymore. Five, six, seven, eight. I want you to be my mate. One, two, three, four. You're the one that I adore. Five, six, seven, eight. Don't run from me. This is fate.
It's like, great.
How adorable.
Yay! Yeah, I'm shaking the pom-poms. If oh, I had some,
then
I'd
she
be
leaves
shaking
them and
them.
Runs away. She leaves the pom-poms yeah. right there and you're runs away.
Oh, weird. I didn't realize
yeah.
that part.
I'm like, girl.
Hey, man, don't forget your pom-poms.
That's okay. They make out in the great little van and they drive away.
They're so cute.
They are.
You got to love Natasha, too. You know, that she's played a lot of gay or lesbian. She mm-hmm. has, and yeah. she's not, I guess, you know, not yeah. that it matters. But yeah. that's actors anyway.
Right.
So, but she's, I just love
her. But she does it in a very authentic way, which makes it seem not so, like, performative.
Right,
like, she's
right.
stealing from another group or anything like that. Like,
yeah.
She's doing it in a really awesome.
And I will give this one little last nod to this movie. You know, I've seen all the things. I've watched mm-hmm. lots of gay movies.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry.
And I've seen, like, The L Word, yeah. which was pivotal for me, too. Mm-hmm. And, like, you talk about this movie. I remember yeah. The L Word came out, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. This
yeah.
is not, this is weird.
Yeah.
Which is highly sexualized.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, it's, like, a little bit, like, porny,
yeah.
you know, where you're like, huh.
Oh, yeah.
But this movie is sweet.
Yes.
So there's stuff in it, but it's really... I love that they did that. I love that they made it kind of like more of a romantic thing
mm-hmm.
and they didn't like supercharge it in some kind of weird way.
Yeah, because even the one sex scene is very tender.
That's
it's
what
very
I was saying. Like, yeah. And I really thought that was cool because yeah. she didn't take it there. And yeah. I was like, thank you for making yeah. this like not, you know, this right. isn't like, what's that movie that everybody went crazy over?
Mm-hmm. A newer
the
one?
The Blue, the French film.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, come on. Really? Oh my god.
I guess I'll have to look up.
I'm gonna have to tell you that one.
Yeah.
It's really long, I have to tell you. Anyway. Well, listen, thank you.
Yes, thank
so
you
so much.
Sorry this we is, talked so much.
No, thank you. This is like why I do this. Yeah. You know, I love good conversation. Mm-hmm. I love talking about movies and life. Mm-hmm. And this is like I get to, you know, I don't know if we would have connected this way.
We wouldn't have, probably.
Because
not.
We have different lives, you know.
Yeah.
Like I'm not out and about in town all the time mm-hmm. and I see you. I know you're probably doing other yoga stuff mm-hmm. and I don't know. I don't see Sarah enough.
Yeah.
Sarah, let's
Sarah,
hang out.
Come on.
We should all go do something.
Yes.
But this has been great. So
yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And let's all go to the fucking movies.
Yes. Let's do it.
Sure.
Just has to be early. I fall asleep.
I don't mind.
Yes,
it's
great.
Actually better because you're probably quiet.
Yes.
Because some people just talk a lot.
Yeah. No, I don't do that. I'm usually asleep. I've spent a lot of money on movies I haven't seen. So
well, you know, it's a very quiet and safe place.
Yeah.
And it's calming. The dark gets dark, you know, you're in the seat.
As long as I don't snore, it's usually good
yeah,
for everybody.
Don't take you to the lay down theater. That could be a problem.
No, that would be bad.
You might fall asleep on somebody.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, next week I don't know what's coming. So
yeah,
keep
you never know.
I'll keep you posted on all the social media and like
check
I
Facebook.
Always,
you might get on.
Shout out to Rehoboth Social Podcast Network with all the shows. If you're curious about what they are. Type in Rehoboth Social Podcast Network, and you will find out. Follow us on Facebook. Rate, review, and subscribe. And send me requests. Come be on the show, right?
Be on
it's
the
fun.
Show. Yeah, it was really fun.
It's awesome.
Yay.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.